Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. It's a new year. It's a new decade, 2020. I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas, a blessed new year. Good to be back and starting this off in 2020. Kyle, you still look festive.
Thanks, like, man. I'm trying to, you're trying to keep it going for a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. You got a little burgundy. Yeah. I'm mourning. I want to cancel football season. Football season's
He's
over.
I'm wearing black.
NFL playoffs started. They're underway, but the Patriots lost. The Eagles lost. So I don't even want to go to Super Bowl anymore. It was a tough
week. I do. It's in Miami, bro. I am booked.
I'm booked for Miami. We go to the St. Pete area, and we were just in Florida, but I'm looking at the weather in Miami. It's always like 8-10 degrees hotter than where we normally go.
It's hot. Yeah.
I was like, it might be in the 80s, which is
That'd be perfect.
I'm hating on him so hard.
I know.
But you know what? How do I pack? This is what confuses me. Like, because I got to look professional, and I'm always taking suits and jackets, and I'm on Radio Row, and I'm doing this, and I'm going here, I'm confused.
Do you want us to feel sorry for you
I'll tell you what, this would be a deal. You pack, and then if you need some things, I will be more than happy to bring them down. This is a first world problem right here.
I'm confused. We don't feel bad for you.
Those are the things that trouble me. How do I pack? How many bags do I take?
It's how much paella am I going to eat? Oh, how much Cuban coffee am I going to drink? Come on, it's South Beach.
That's not bad. But yeah, the NFL playoffs are underway locally. It was a tough weekend. The Philadelphia Eagles were eliminated. Man, Carson Wentz led this Eagles team as far as he could, one injury after another, set a franchise record, 4,039 yards passing. I love the stat. I don't care who tries to diminish it. Not one wide receiver with 500 yards receiving. 490 was the most. He had two tight ends with more than that. Five guys, this is the thing, they had five guys off the practice squad playing in a division-clinching game. And once Carson finally got an opportunity to start a playoff game after, we know, the history and the injuries, and he had to watch the past two seasons, and Nick Foles led the team to the Super Bowl, and then it takes a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah.
A helmet-to-helmet hit on the second series, and that was the ultimate. Ultimately, the Eagles, this year, they were able to overcome injury after injury until it was Carson.
Yeah.
And that was tough. That was difficult to see. I know the fans were upset. You were there. What was the mood in that stadium?
You know, it was electric on. It was probably the loudest and most juiced I've heard the stadium, even in lots of other playoff games, going into it. But when Carson, you know, kind of got knocked out, you saw him run into the tunnel. I think the air just went out. But it was interesting, Rob. I think, you know, the difference has been if it was an injury to his knee or to his elbow or to a hand, I think people would have been frustrated with him.
Yes.
But because of the way it happened and what happened and it being a concussion and
a very questionable hit.
Extremely questionable. And, I'm not saying that Clowney's a dirty player, but it's definitely a dirty hit.
He was uncalled for. He was going down.
Right. No doubt. And you're leading with your helmet, something they're trying to take out of the league anyway. Yeah. It's what we're trying to do completely with the league. Why we're trying to protect the quarterback so that we don't have these kind of situations in a playoff game that matters. We're having one of the stars out. So
NFL fans should be upset that you were robbed of an opportunity to see a rising young star play a full playoff game.
Yes.
That would have been an exciting finish to that game. Eagles lose that game 17-9, and Josh McCown, God love him, at 40 years old, first career playoff game, did everything he possibly could.
Not throwing a bad ankle, hobbling around at 40.
If it's Carson, you know that those plays that weren't made, he would have found a way to make them. And I think fans who look at this from the outside looking in, like, you got to be upset that you were robbed of this. And I don't know. The NFL has tried to stop this stuff before, and they don't want to see that. But here's a classic example. You could say this about every team in a playoffs. You take out their quarterback.
Of course.
They're done.
There's no doubt about it.
You take a, and what is now, what is to stop a team from having a guy who wants to go take out a Kirk Cousins or yes. Russell Wilson
Correct.
Or Patrick Mahomes? Or you have to find a way to police this better. And, you know, I was in a locker room with the Seahawks afterwards. I went in both, but I went at first to the Seahawks. And Jadeveon Clowney, he said there was no intent to injure, and he certainly didn't. But his demeanor, the way he spoke after that game,
the way he was to the fans, right?
Bothered me a little bit.
Agreed. I mean, even afterwards at halftime, coming out, and obviously the fans were booing him.
Yeah.
And just his total—he was mocking them. He was, you know, kind of jeering them on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you really have a. If you're really sorry, if you were like, exactly. Yeah, that wasn't, and it's not, I'm not talking about intent, I'm talking about remorse and that. Yeah,
he's,
I mean, hey.
He kept saying.
So I don't know. I love what you just said, to be honest. I think ultimately the fans are robbed.
Eagles fans.
No, I mean fans,
football,
NFL fans, because I think football, that weekend was such a phenomenal weekend of football. Like every game came down to the wire, right? Amazing.
Three road teams win wild card weekend.
Almost never happens.
Yeah, I even watched. Like,
I mean there are miracles that happen, right?
That's a miracle right there.
But this is the moment we had been waiting for. We wanted to see Carr's full season, 16 games, finally got out there, set records throughout the season, carried a young team that lost veteran after veteran and led these young guys. And what a beautiful story it was. And ultimately, it takes what wasn't flagged, but I'm sure, and I'll check with the NFL this week. But I'm sure that
he's receiving an envelope this week.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a fine. Somebody made this point, and I thought it was great. Had he been flagged for that on sportsmanlike conduct, maybe he plays differently, not as reckless the rest of the game, because he was a beast out there.
Absolutely,
because he's afraid one more he gets ejected.
Yeah.
But other upsets in the that technically wasn't an upset. Seahawks came to Philly as a one and a half point favorite, but I thought the Eagles were going to win. Drew Brees and the Saints lost at home. Tom Brady and the Patriots lost at home,
which never happens.
Unreal. Number three seeds though, and I knew this was bad. I went back and did the research. Number three seeds in the NFL since 1975 and that's when they instituted the seeding system.
Yes.
Can you believe before that, you will have no idea what this means, but before that, they alternated home field advantage by division. So, for example, the year the Dolphins were undefeated, they went on the road to play the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh.
That's insane.
They finally corrected that in 75. Yeah, so
that's
they finally
insane.
Got that in 75 where you get home field advantage based on your record during the season.
So, basically, the way that baseball messed up, the World Series by
constantly,
the All-Star game. That means nothing. Yeah,
but the Patriots and Saints were both three seeds. Only four times in since 75 has a three seed even reached the Super Bowl. Just reached it, and only two have won it. So three seeds and six seeds both have won two Super Bowls. So as soon as I saw three, and I picked Patriots and Saints, I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. But the team that knocked the Saints out, the team that beat the Saints on the road, the Minnesota Vikings, were led by quarterback Kirk Cousins. And I sat down with Kirk at last year's Super Bowl, and we featured him in an episode afterward. But I wanted to play that interview again and look at it from a different perspective. Last year when we looked at it, we focused on the part where he talked about his foundation being in Christ. I think our episode was titled Brick by Brick, and we talked about the importance of that. Kirk was coming off what for him was an incredibly disappointing season when we spoke last year. He signed with Minnesota in free agency. He had left Washington because they traded for Alex Smith. Basically, they didn't want him anymore because they had franchised him 2 years in a row, and then before they can offer, they didn't want to offer him a long-term contract. They trade for Alex Smith. He goes to Minnesota and becomes the first NFL player to get a fully guaranteed 3-year, $84 million contract.
Highest salary at the time.
Yeah.
So, guaranteed money at the time.
At the time.
That's right.
And he replaces Case Keenum, who was a backup who led Minnesota the previous year to the NFC Championship. So now there's high expectations in Minnesota. He takes them to the final game in the regular season. All they had to do was win and get in against the Bears team that had nothing to play for.
Yeah.
They had clinched. here locally in Philly, fans, I was at the Eagles-Redskins game in D.C. because everybody's paying attention to that one. The Eagles are blowing out the Redskins. Eagles needed the Vikings to lose yes. to get in. Well, that happened. And after that, you know, it was very disappointing. So when I asked him about that disappointment, he said when things don't go professionally the way you want them to, it can be frustrating. It's a competitive business. Not everything is going to go your way. And this is the part that I love. He said, so you understand that the Lord uses it all for our good and to tell a story and for his glory. And so I look forward to seeing that story unfold in the next few months, in the next few years. And I do believe that he has a reason for why things happen. And I trust him for that. But I work really hard to hopefully allow for a lot of success on the field going forward. So flash forward to this season. This is Kirk after last year and a disappointment. Flash forward to this season. The Vikings win 10 games. They made the playoffs, but they finished as a number 6 seed. So we just talked about how hard it is to advance. They had to play the Saints on the road. They were the biggest of the underdogs at Wild Card Weekend, 7.5-point underdogs. Not many people gave Minnesota a chance. I actually thought they would cover the spread but lose the game. They ended up, Kirk and the Vikings pulled that out, pulled off that upset. He threw a 4-yard touchdown pass to Kyle Rudolph in overtime, and Minnesota advanced to play this weekend. They're going to play the number one seed San Francisco 49ers. So many people have doubted Kirk Cousins. They've questioned whether he was worth that money, the guaranteed money. He's been criticized for not winning big games. I believe his record was at this point 0-15 or something like that against teams that were 12 wins or more. Saints were 12 wins or more. Wow. Well, he picked a good time to finally get that one. So now, finally silences the critics, and he has an opportunity on the field in an interview with Fox. Chris Myers, I believe, conducted the interview, and he could have said whatever he wanted to. He had the microphone. He had the platform, all this negative nonsense that he's heard throughout his life. But he didn't go down that road, and this is what Kirk said. So he goes, ultimately, it's about the team. I am just trying to do my part for this team, help us win. The quarterback carries weight, but that comes with the job. My faith is important to me. It is the foundation of my life, and ultimately, that is where I gain my peace and strength. And here's the best part. He goes, win or lose today, God is still on the throne.
Yeah.
And I take comfort in that. So here's a man, an athlete, in a high-profile position who walks his talk because his foundation, we found out last year, and in those bad times, in those disappointing moments, his foundation's in Christ. So he stayed true to who he is in the good times and in the bad times. It was no different. His identity for him remains in Christ. God is still on the throne. Success or failure, he walks his talk. And I know for me, Kyle and Remy, I know for me, like, I personally would have been tempted in that moment. I mean, come on. Chris Myers handed me a microphone. You're on the field. You just won, right? I would be tempted in that moment to take a shot at the critics, to take a shot at the naysayers, right? Just like say, you know, we go back to the video of Kirk several years ago with Washington walking off the field yelling, you like that?
Yeah, you like that
because he had led the Redskins to a division title. But he didn't do that. He was humble in defeat last year, and he kept his faith in the Lord. He stayed humble in victory and remained faithful to the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where, you know, we talk about character. Character is what comes out of you when you're squeezed.
Yes.
And, you know, in those moments, that's what true character is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can see that in Kirk right there. You know, the ability to be able to say, look, I have football in perspective. Football is my business. It's my game, but it's not my life. And I know who I am, regardless of whether I succeed on that field or fail on that field. As a competitor and as a man of God, I want to succeed on the field, right? I want to do my best for the Lord in all things.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that Christians aren't disappointed when they lose, right? Of course they are. And that's why the Bible talks about we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn with those who mourn. There's this beautiful array of emotions that we can have as men and women of God, in our private and our personal and our professional lives. But as long as they're constantly founded in the big perspective that Jesus really is Lord of my life, that he's the foundation, and that this is just a moment in time. It doesn't define my life. It doesn't define who I am. There's a sense of peace. So I can go through mourning with a sense of peace. I can go through rejoicing with a sense of peace, because I know who I am and whose I am. Yeah. And that's the thing, Rob, I think so often that people struggle with when they're looking at Christians, Christian athletes in particular, because they'll see this range of emotion and they'll say, yeah, but I thought Christians aren't supposed to be X or aren't supposed to be Y.
Right.
And yet it's not the range of emotion. It's the foundation upon which that individual is living their life that really matters.
We're not robots.
Yeah, we're not.
Right?
We're never meant to be, right?
And that's the thing. If people have an expectation that you're supposed to act a certain way, react a certain way, feel a certain way, it's just not feasible.
Correct.
You know, none of us, we're not robots. Christians aren't robots.
Well, I understand the idea of we're not robots. But the thing is, there's a lot of people out there watching what you're doing. You don't even have to have a platform.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? And I always say this. I always say there's people that don't ever, ever read the Bible, but they will always read your life. And you will have to minister with your life before you minister with anything else. So if I am out there and I am claiming to be a Christian, but when it comes to disappointment, I am claiming something completely different, people are going to judge that and see it as, oh, look at the Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing Christians do to Christians, actually, is to say, oh, look at them. Look,
that's the truth, Remy.
By the way,
it's usually not people who don't know Jesus.
It's usually Christians doing it to Christians. We are so hypocritical. It is annoying. I mean, I do it too sometimes. We all do. I mean, I'm annoyingly honest sometimes, but we do that to other people. We do it to other Christians.
It's
We're
true.
Like, look at him. Mm-hmm. He claims to be Christian. He claims to be this. He claims to be that. So you read other people based on that, based on how they react to things.
Yeah.
But when God gives you that kind of platform, like if you're an athlete or whatever, if you're someone that's on a platform at all times or even not, God is definitely favored your life for a reason. And he is favoring you for when you fall. You would have to be gracious enough to kind of still say, it's not about me. It's not about me. So it's about God. So even if I fall, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about him being glorified in everything, even in my failures. And that's sometimes we misunderstand that as Christians, that when we're highly favored, that we have to live a good life. It's not a good life.
This is what I would say. And Remy, I love what you just said. I would say that we're all highly favored.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what we need to, of course. It's when we live in this comparison moment where I'm not as highly favored as. And yet a mom who has two beautiful daughters like you do, you are highly favored.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So, you know, we have to recognize this highly favored aspect, but favor is not earned. Favor is given by grace.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so that if we can actually be humble in victory and defeat, because whatever comes my way, I haven't earned and I don't deserve.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So when I'm truly founded in grace, and that's why we talk about grace is really not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. Grace is a person. You know, John 1:17 says that the law rules were given by Moses, but grace and truth came in Jesus. Grace is a person. Right. So we understand that we don't deserve anything that God brings to us in any way, shape or form, whether in victory or defeat. We don't deserve any. Right. We can be humble in accepting all of it.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy who calls my radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic, and he's in Georgia. His name is Shannon. His name is Shannon in Georgia. And every time he calls, I go, how you doing? He always goes, better than I deserve.
He goes, better than I deserve.
And I stopped him before he got into his sports point. And I said, I was like, you know what? You say that every time you call. And I want to acknowledge the fact that you say better than I deserve, because aren't we all in that same boat?
Yes.
Better than I deserve.
And you started talking about that right there. Yes, yes.
It just made me realize that we don't deserve everything that we've received. It's the grace. It's the gift. It's the favor.
Yes.
So that is so important to recognize. And I want to get back a little bit to your point about being hypocritical, because Kirk talks about that in the interview too, and we'll hear it a little bit later on. And I think it is important to avoid, like, as best we can, being hypocritical. Because like you said, people are always watching us.
They're listening. Yeah.
They're waiting for us to fail. And the thing is, like, when you're on a big platform and you're unashamed about talking about your faith, talking about Jesus, talking about your Christianity, there are people who are waiting for opportunity to take a shot at you or want to see you fail, and we all fail.
Of course.
We're all going to fail. So, I can't tell you how often in the course of a day I try and remind myself, like, I got walk your talk, walk your talk, walk your talk.
Yes.
Because I talk it, and I want to walk it all the time, and it's difficult.
Absolutely.
Like, sometimes it's really difficult. It's difficult on social media when you want to respond in a negative way to a troll. If there's a moment you encounter on a road, in a store, whatever it is, sometimes it's difficult to always walk your talk. But if you think about who's watching, who's listening, and who can use this as a way to be, like, negative towards me and my faith, I just ultimately – God knows your heart, right?
Yeah.
And if it's kind of like training yourself, working on yourself, making sure that, hey, God, fill me with this new heart, this new mind. Help me not react this way. Help me not think this way. Help me not be that person who wants to fire off something nasty to people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not perfect. We're going to fail. I try and treat it like each day my goal is to walk my Christian talk as best as I can. So
thank you for saying that, because it is definitely takes practice. This thing takes practice. Because people think salvation is something that's just one. I mean, salvation is a one-time deal. I get that. But it takes you doing something every single day to become more and more like Jesus. It's not just like, oh, I committed my life to Christ this morning, so therefore I am perfect, and
we're never perfect.
Well, we said it on Sunday, right? Salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification, being changed to be like Jesus, is every day. It's a progression. I always fail at this as well. Matter of fact, there was a really famous person who obviously was at our church, had visited our church at one time, and he was in the green room with us afterwards, and he just. He was very cold to a lot of our team and everything else, and he has a reputation of being a Christian and being exuberant, and the taste that I had at that moment, I was like, this is something that I didn't expect. And the tendency for me at that moment was to be like, I don't like him, I'm not gonna like him. But then I had to sit back, right, and say, we have to give people the opportunity to have a bad day and recognize that it's not the picture, it's the movie. We judge so much off of a picture. We're such an Instagram society where we see a picture and we judge one way or the other. This is how their life always is, right?
Yeah.
We put up pictures on our Instagram of us staying at the beach and it's the best. Yeah, that's one hour of one day of the year, right? But that's what we want people to think. So people think that's our life all the time. No, what's the movie? Picture after picture after picture after picture. That's what a movie is.
Yeah.
So I had to sit back and go, but you know what? I've watched this guy's life.
Yeah.
I've seen him over a quarter, and I recognized that, the next day what had happened in his life the night before that he wasn't telling us. But if I would have judged it off of
Did he know at that time?
He may have.
Oh.
It was just something I had to sit back and say, you know what? This is wrong. I'm judging someone's off of it. And I shouldn't be judging anyway, but stuff what we're talking about, right?
No,
natural response to what you were saying.
And I really respect you saying that and saying that on air, because you're a pastor. So, and here's where we're wrong. Oh, a pastor's supposed to think this way, act that way. But man, you're human too.
I am supposed to think and act that way, right? But you're exactly
human.
Right. I'm human as well, yeah.
But it also comes down to how we are on a platform, and we have to always – I mean, it's hard to uphold that standard, but at the same time, we're always reading people. So you read him, and you're like,
exactly.
I'm disappointed by what I just read.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you always – sorry. You always have to kind of remind yourself that I'm in this position, and I'm not trying to put a facade on, but I'm just trying to – not be that person.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to remind myself every day that I'm here to kind of walk my talk every single day.
It's really hard, Raymond, what you just said. It's really hard because our temptation is to put on masks then.
Our
temptation is to not be authentic because of what other people will feel or think.
Right.
And
I
think that's the danger, right? There's this
it's
tension
hard.
That we have to walk within.
Yeah.
And I think the world needs authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what they really need is to see people who are the same in good, like Kirk Cousins, in good times and bad times.
Yeah.
People who know how to own stuff when they mess it up, turn around and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought like that. I shouldn't have said that. And those are those moments, I think, that people who are really looking for Jesus, not people who have the Pharisaic kind of mentality, right? Trying to feel better about themselves. But people are really looking for Jesus. You know, I have enough unsaved friends that they are never put off by my authenticity. But they are totally turned off by the hypocritical, I'm better, I'm good, I don't have any problems, you're really messed up brand at times of Christianity that's out there. And and I think we do ourselves and the kingdom and the king a disservice.
That's absolute. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think trying to be the best ambassador for Christ is a goal, is a vision. Like, I want to be the best ambassador for Christ that I can be.
Yeah.
So people will see Christ in me. And maybe if they don't know the Lord, they'll get to know the Lord because of what they see in me. But that authenticity, that being genuine is crucial. It's critical because if you're fake, people, I think, can call out frauds immediately, 100%. Right?
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, when you look at Kirk being humble in defeat, and humble in victory. Now, that defeat stings. He goes in the interview, he goes, I had trouble sleeping. Of course, it was very difficult for him. But how he dealt with that and how he understood where his win or lose to him, he knew, okay, it matters so much to the fans. It matters to him. It matters to the team. It matters to the organization. But ultimately, this is a game.
Yes.
This is a profession. And ultimately, my identity is rooted in the Lord. And he knew, right? He knew. He said, you know, looking down the road, I'm excited to see what's going to happen in a few weeks. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in a few years, a few months.
Yes.
And it happened.
And it has.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And there he is. This other idea of walking your talk, I want to inject this a little bit because I think sometimes we can be hearers of the word. We hear the word, right?
Yeah.
We just hear the word, but we're not doers of the word. So if we're going to walk our talk, and I constantly have to remind myself this part, okay, I'm walking my talk, and then I'll stop and go, but I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying to further the kingdom here. What else am I doing, though? So talking about my faith and talking about the Lord, like I feel it's not – walking your talk and talking is not enough. I feel like you have to be obedient and translate that faith that we have into actions and follow the conduct that's commanded to us by the Lord.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, ultimately, Rob, Jesus invited us into a living relationship. He never invited us into a program. He invited us into his life. Come and follow me. And so when we look at rules and try to just be a better person, the law always causes rebellion. Always.
Yes.
You tell your child, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that. It makes you want to touch it. Exactly, right? It's the human nature inside of us. So when we see that, and that's where we have to be careful with it's not just obeying the word, it's how we hear the word. How do we hear the word? Is it what I have to do or what I get to do to become more like Jesus? How the things inside of me, do I self-reflect and say these things that I'm hearing aren't who I am? It doesn't make me a bad person. It means that there are things inside of me that I have to allow the Spirit of God to change and refine so that I'm having a more intimate relationship with him. You know, we talked a little bit this weekend about, you know, the truth is that God, Jesus loves us so much. There's nothing about me that would keep his love from me.
But
there are things inside of me that keep me from loving him.
That's right.
And that's the things that we have to allow the Spirit of God. Sometimes we're trying to be so good so that God will love me more. But the reason we're not feeling his love isn't because he's not loving us. It's because that guilt, that shame, those desires, those hidden things, those things that we're ashamed of, keep us from that intimacy. And that's why I'm saying it's not just hearing the word, it's how we hear the word. Because you and I grew up, Remy, you did too.
Yeah.
Hearing that, it's not that we didn't hear the word.
Hearing, and try to do the word. Yeah.
But we couldn't. It's not that. It really is making sure that we hear the heartbeat of God and allow that heartbeat to change our heartbeat.
I think the best thing I forget it too. We always have to minister back to God with our lives.
Yes.
He's not looking for us to minister to minister to others. It's not the idea of what I'm doing for the kingdom. It's the idea of what am I doing back to him with my life. So everything I do every single day ministers back to him. Whether it's holding back my anger, whether it's patience, whether it's listening to my kids, whether it's listening to my husband, whether it's being available, being present. This is all things that are kind of a fruitful life. And it's the kind of life he wants us to live. Mm-hmm. It's not just what am I doing outside of my home. It's not what am I doing with the ministry. It's what am I doing with my own life every single day.
It's really good.
And that's ministering back to him. And that's really all the risk that he wants from us. He doesn't want you to do a whole lot.
Yeah, how do I live my life just, pleasing you?
Yeah, how is my life pleasing back to you? And that's really what it comes down to.
Because, Rob, if we're not careful, we're going to just start living by the rule books. And,
because you check off boxes.
I talk about, all the time how religion, how it makes us see things. It's taking the poem, and religion makes you just focus on the letters. There are letters on there. Just focus on the letters.
Right.
But when you focus just on the letters, there are letters on there. Mm-hmm. But you miss the poem. You miss the heartbeat of the artist who wrote it. You miss the beauty. You miss the message. So, you can recognize every letter, and you'll know every letter, and you can tell me every letter in that poem.
Mm-hmm.
But you miss what the message is, the heartbeat is. That's what Christianity really is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He came not so that we could follow rules. He came so that we could follow him.
Those two
things are so vastly different.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why you talk so much, Rob, about your transition between religion and really having a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, we'll walk through the doors of grace right back into the room of works.
Yep.
And that's where even Protestant Christianity is it gets in trouble. Because we'll say, I'm saved by grace. But then as soon as we get saved by grace, we go, all right,
what do I
have to do to be good, better, the best Christian I can be?
Yes.
Instead of how can I love Jesus? How does my life reflect him?
Yes.
How do I live a life pleasing unto him? How do I get closer to him? That is a tension we have to learn to walk in.
I think the idea of walking your talk is to live your life loving, forgiving, respecting, caring, sharing like the Lord.
Yes.
Best way you can. We'll never match up to it, but best way we can. One more area that I wanted to get into with this interview with Kirk, because last year he talked about understanding how God uses bad for glory.
Yes.
And we struggle with bad turning into glory, don't we, all the time? And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to get into that for a few minutes, because that's so difficult to understand when times are tough, like when things don't go our way, when you get hurt in a game, but you lose a game or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be job related.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's whatever it is in life or a relationship. And it's so difficult in those tough times to think that, well, God's going to use this at some point for his glory. But it's important to really realize and understand, like Kirk did last year, that God works in everything.
Yeah.
In everything for our good. Like he's not picking out one thing here or there.
Yeah.
He's in everything. And sometimes that means bad things are going to happen, right? So disappointing things are going to happen, and even worse. Like there's evil around us everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
evil is prevalent, but God is able to turn again everything around for our good long term. And the key in that sentence is long term.
Yeah.
Because like we're all short-sighted. I believe I'm short-sighted.
100%.
I'm looking at today. I'm looking at tomorrow. I want to get through what's best for me this week, what's best for me this month. We want to see immediate results. We want it all to be better now. But God has that long view. And I feel like it's not always about our immediate happiness or our immediate comfort. God's working through us for his purpose. So like when Paul's talking here, I don't know that. And correct me if you think differently, Kyle. I don't think that he's talking for everybody. I think Paul in here is talking for the good of those
according to his purpose.
Right? He says for the good of those who love him
and are called according to his purpose.
So when people say, well, this bad thing happened to but do you love him? Are you called to his purpose?
Yeah.
And those who are called by him, who love him, who have surrendered all to him, I feel like that's who this is for. That's who he's talking about. So we have to have like a new perspective, a new mindset, and we have to trust God in everything and put our trust in the worldly. You know, if we put our trust in the world and we struggle, we'll fail.
Oh, absolutely.
But if we put our trust in the Lord and realize like our security is in heaven, I mean, that's how when pain comes, when trouble comes, that we're not going to waver, and the disappointments that come through and we understand and we're able to get over those.
Yeah, Rob, we've talked about this 100 times on the show, but, you know, we're really good at cherry picking scripture. Yeah. And it's not just cherry picking this whole scripture. We usually cherry pick just part of the scripture. So what you said is absolutely right. You know, it really is about loving God and understanding how we're living out and choosing to live out that purpose. So it's not God works everything out for everyone. No. It really is within the context of, you know, are we loving, do we love God? Are we a part of his kingdom? Are we submitting to his will? But when we do, he does. And I love what you said, because I think we have a long-term philosophy and a short-sighted practice. You know, we have this long-term philosophy. Everything's fine. And then something happens and we're like, I can't believe.
I wish I was going to say.
I can't believe this is going to happen. So we have this long-term philosophy, but then our practice is something very different. You know, we've talked about, and Kirk did too, this kind of storms that happen. Mm-hmm. And there's this moment where, there's the storms going on with the disciples that are in the boat, and they think they're going to die. And Jesus is asleep.
Yeah.
And which is really funny, because when you sit there and think about it, you're like, they saw a storm that was going to kill them. Right. He saw weather. Sometimes we see a storm, he just sees weather. Like, he's just like, this is nothing. And it's not that those effects aren't really affecting us in the natural. It's that he has a much bigger picture at the end of that. He speaks to the wind and the waves in that moment, and that's the moment they realize he's God. Like, literally, there's this moment of him not so worried about what's going on around them. He's using it to express a different level, take them to a different revelation of who he is. Yeah. And I think that's what those kind of moments are. When he's working things for our good, the good has to be defined by him. He is good, right? So it's not our good. It's he is working his goodness into that situation. So how is he trying to take us to a whole nother revelation of himself? And regardless of the situation,
could it all be about our reactions and not necessarily about circumstances?
I think Remy, it's always about changing us, not changing the circumstance. The circumstance sometimes changes, so it changes us, but sometimes it doesn't change, and it still changes us.
I mean, I had that recently happen to me, because I feel like I felt major disappointment, and I was just like, if he made it come to me this far, how come he takes it away? This is not fair.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what I mean?
Now, like, I remember.
It was like, to me, it was too huge and it was too exciting. And I was so excited and boom, gone. And, and it was like at the very, very last second that it was gone. And I was just like, oh, that stinks so bad. Like, I mean, I cried. It was major. It took me like a day and a half to get over it. But I got over
it. You handled it well.
She's like, it took me a whole day and a half. I was like, that's actually pretty fast, actually. But
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, I trained myself. Like, you know, I trained myself.
It goes back to practice.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Exactly. Practice the presence of God.
Cry it out, people. Cry it out. Talk it out and get over it. It's just how it is. But don't let it consume you. But yeah, it comes down to the reaction.
You just said something really brilliant, Remy. When we look in the Bible, we get so excited in John 11, Lazarus raises from the dead, right? After 4 days, raising, we're this whole miracle, it's awesome, it's fantastic. He died again. Hey, this is awesome, everything's great, God, you're the best. He died again. And sometimes, it's like, does that diminish the miracle? Does it diminish God's goodness time
That's
because
so true,
of
awesome.
What then happens? But it's perspective. It's, again, we have this big time, we have this long-term philosophy, but when it comes down to practice, it's very short-sighted in our life. It's not that we should not feel those emotions.
No, feel the
emotion. It's that we submit those emotions to the Lordship of Jesus, bringing everything under him and allowing him to be king of it all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
When we come back, you're going to hear from Kirk Cousins. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Kearney University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people. So thank you to Kearney University Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Our guest this week is Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. Kirk led the Vikings to his first playoff win and has them in a divisional round of the NFC playoffs against San Francisco this weekend. I mentioned earlier in the show I sat down with Kirk last year in Atlanta for the Super Bowl during that week, and I read part of the interview earlier, and I also read what he said after this most recent win, the biggest win of his career. He was humble in disappointment last year. He was humble in victory this year. He's true to who he is in Christ. And here is the entire interview with Kirk Cousins.
How do you evaluate your season personally? Obviously, you get that contract. There's a lot of pressure put on your shoulders. It didn't go the way you guys wanted. When you look back, every quarterback, every player looks back at their season and tries to evaluate, hey, I could do this better, I could do that better. How do you look back and where do you go from here?
I was frustrated with the way the season ended. I felt that we had a lot of pieces in place, had a really good team, and showed flashes of that throughout the year. But it's disappointing to not be in the playoffs and to come as close as we did to getting in the playoffs. So I've been very frustrated. It's been hard for me watching the playoffs at home. And, you know, the month of January has been a tough month. You know, I haven't been sleeping as well at night. And it's just been tough as you replay those moments throughout the season that could have been better, could have been different. And, you know, we're just now starting to turn the page, trying to look towards next season and what we have to do to put this thing together the right way for next year. But it certainly has been a tough few weeks walking away from the season feeling frustrated about how it went.
Well, as a brother in Christ, as a man of faith, how do you rely on the Lord to help you through those times? Because even though we all go through storms, and they may be different for different people, that's considered a storm, a chapter in your life that was difficult. How do you rely on Him to get you through it?
Yeah, you know, we all go through different storms, and you know, we have professional ones. And in my case, my professional storms tend to be a little more public and on a bigger stage, but they're my job nonetheless, like anyone else. And, you know, when the things don't go professionally the way you want them to, it can be frustrating. And it's a competitive business, and not everything's going to go your way. So you do understand that the Lord uses it all for our good and to tell a story and for His glory. And so I look forward to seeing that story unfold in the next few months, in the next few years. And I do believe that He has a reason for why things happen, and I trust Him for that. But I do, you know, work really hard to hopefully, you know, allow for a lot of success on the field going forward.
I'll say this to you. Your identity doesn't lie in your accomplishments. Win or lose, you know your identity is rooted in Christ. Is that something that it's difficult from sometimes when you go through these tough things? It's difficult, but ultimately you know, hey, my relationship with the Lord is bigger than wins or losses and everything else. Does that help you through that?
Well, at the end of the day, that's the foundation of my life. And, you know, Jesus talks in Matthew about, you know, building your home on the sand, you're making the foundation of your life. As opposed to when you build on the sand, you know, the storms come and the house crumbles. And so storms are going to come in our lives. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, my life is built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And certainly the storms can be frustrating. You know, you can have regrets. But at the end of the day, there's an inner peace that I believe the Lord is using that, you know, for my good, for His glory. And ultimately, for an eternal perspective, that there's good things in store. So I trust Him. He's on the throne of my life, and that's an everyday battle, you know, in terms of finding your identity and other things in life. There are temptations all the time, but I have to remind myself of the truth of God's Word and anchor myself in Him.
How do you use maybe your, not necessarily your influence, but your platform as being someone who's unashamed to show that, hey, I stand up for Christ? How important is it to use that platform, what you have, to impress upon other people that this is the basis of who I am, and this is available to you? God's grace is available to you as well.
Well, I just want it to be natural. You know, I don't want it to be forced. I want, whether it's teammates or fans who may hear my story and hear me share my faith, I want them to hear it in a way that's genuine and authentic and not fake or forced. And I want to make sure I'm the real deal, that I'm not a hypocrite and talking one thing and then doing another. But, you know, I also want to be a great football player. I understand that, you know, any message I may share, whether it's faith or not, it's going to be better listened to, better heard if you're playing well and winning. And so I understand I want to, you know, be successful at what I'm doing on the field as well. but certainly, you know, I believe I'm called to share my faith and to ultimately walk the walk and not just talk the talk and shine my light. And so that's certainly a focus of mine as I play. And it's a God-given platform that, that not everyone has, and I want to steward it correctly.
Kirk, this was fun. I really appreciate your time and you sharing about the Lord with me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Thank you.
That was Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our episodes since we launched this show in 2017, you can just go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every episode that we've done and listen anytime at your convenience. You can choose by topics, or you can select by the guest that you want to hear. We've had Tony Dungy, Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Adam Wainwright, Trevor Story, Brian Dawkins, Doug Peterson, Evander Holyfield, LaDainian Tomlinson, and so many more awesome guests. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes, so you can listen to us on your phones, in your cars, wherever. And please take a minute to review and share with your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Also, make sure to follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're doing. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, is every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Awesome food, great people, entertaining sports talk, prizes, giveaways. Hope to see you guys out there. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our guests. A big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, for all his hard work. A huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.